All right, good to be back in church again tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Say, Pastor, I had a rough time this morning finding Nehemiah. You're bringing us back there. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Hey, if you allow sin in your life, it's going to destroy you. That's just the facts. That's just the way it is. It's just going to mess you up. It's going to be like you're the city of Jerusalem without a king, without a place to worship, without protection. And God said, I'm going to judge you for it. And that's exactly what happened in the book of 2 Chronicles as we get to the end of the kings. They had no king. They had no place of worship. They had no protection. They lost their identity. Sin will steal your identity. It'll mess you up so bad that what you once were, you are no longer. So what do I do? Am I a lost cause? No. And that's the beauty of the book of Nehemiah. Let us rebuild. Let us restore. And we brought that thought out this morning, but I'd like to take it just one step further, lest Pastor Seaman preach it on Wednesday night. Is he here? Oh, is it? He's about to come out of the closet. That was bad. Unfruitful. How many of you appreciate Pastor Seatman? Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, destruction demands restoration. And if your life has been destroyed by sin, I'm happy to announce you don't have to stay there. So what are those blocks for rebuilding? Well, number one, let's go to Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Hey, this also works, this message tonight, if you're just starting out as a Christian. Say, I don't know how to even grow as a Christian. I'm coming to church, but what do I do next? What does it look like? I want to get closer to the Lord, but I don't even know where to begin. Well, let me help you with some starting blocks to your wall tonight. And maybe this will be a good reminder to some of the fundamentals that maybe you've let slide a little bit. Maybe you've neglected some of the things that you ought to be doing. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in? Hey, if you're living in sin, that's exactly where you're at. You're in distress. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Hey, if God's been good to you tonight, say amen. 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 Better than you deserve? Yeah. Oh, it's not even close, Brother Rodell. Not even close. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, look at this. This is a whole group of people. Let us rise up and build. So they strengthen their hands for this good work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for the opportunity to restore that which was broken. God, thank you for the building blocks of the faith that we can look at tonight. God, I pray if someone, maybe someone is new in the faith and doesn't even know where to begin to have a relationship with you, that this message would be an encouragement. Maybe someone that had been destroyed by sin and wants to rebuild tonight and start all over again, may this message be a help and encouragement to them. And maybe for those Christians that have wandered away from the fundamentals of the faith, that this would rekindle in their heart what we ought to be all about. Lord, again, may this message tonight bring you honor and glory, be a help to those that hear it. And I pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad you're here tonight, and I really hope that this is a help to you. As we talk about building the walls of Jerusalem, and there we are kind of in the middle of rubble and mess, and say, all right, where do I begin? What block do I lay first? How do I start again? Well, look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. I do ask that you be attentive. I do not believe that it'll be long tonight. But good reminders to us, 2 Peter chapter number 3. See, this is what we want in verse 18. But grow in grace. See, I want to grow. I don't want to just be stagnant as a Christian. I don't want to just get to a spot where, hey, this is about as far as I can go. I can't progress any further. Maybe you've gotten in a job you've hit the cap limit. You can't do anything else. You've gone as far as you can go, and what do you end up doing? You start looking for other things. There's no cap limit to how close you can get to the Lord. You ought to always be growing, whether you've been saved this past year or you've been saved for 50 years. Hey, you ought to be growing in grace. Say, what does that mean? Well, it tells us right here. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As a Christian, there ought to be one thing that you know more about than anything else, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to study the Gospels. We ought to read the Gospels. We ought to read and study and memorize the words of Christ. That when someone asks us a question, we can think back and say, what did Jesus say about this? Hey, are you reading about Him? Say, oh yeah, you should see my library. I got extensive books about Christ. Oh, wait a second now. I love reading. I enjoy reading. I enjoy having my mind challenged towards things. But there's no greater book than the Holy Scriptures. Amen. To teach you and instruct you about the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, there's men that have taken some of these thoughts, and they are so eloquent with their words, and we all can benefit from that. But I'm telling you, there's no comparison to the Word of God. Amen. Hey, if you're not reading the Word of God, that's the number one fundamental block. Read the Scriptures. To know the Word is to know Christ. In John chapter number 1, He says He is the Word. Say, I want to know more about Jesus. Do you have a book, a workbook, some sort of thing I can work through? Matthew chapter number 1. Say, okay, what do I do after Matthew? Mark chapter number 1. Read through the Gospels. You'll get a beautiful picture of who Christ was. What He was all about. I'll tell you what He was all about. His Father's business and others. Amen. Read about Him. Know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we can tell more about, we know more stats about sports teams than we do about chapters in our Scriptures. Those things ought not so to be, church. What does your Bible reading schedule look like? Is it, can I ask this? And these are questions you need to answer in your own heart. But is it daily? Daily, are you spending time with the Savior? Is there a time when you get alone with God? Say, yeah, my Bible reading, this is how I do it. And the Lord's met my needs. I just lay my Bible out and I open up to a random spot and I just read that. Although every word of God is pure and perfect and helpful, can I encourage you to systematically go through the Scriptures? Oh, there's a number of Bible reading programs. You can start at Genesis and read all the way through Revelation. There's some that have you start in Genesis and then you read a little bit in the New Testament, some of the Psalms, and go back and forth. There's even a chronological one where it kind of takes you through chronologically. Your Bible isn't necessarily in chronological order. You understand at the end of 2 Chronicles, that's pretty close to the end of the Old Testament. Although there's some prophets after that, and they fit in after that. And you can read it like that, but I don't recommend just opening up randomly someplace every single day. Keep track of where you're at. Oh, maybe it takes you a year, maybe it takes you 2 years, maybe it takes you 3 years to get through the whole Scriptures, but sometime throughout your life, regularly, you should be going through the Scriptures. Say, why would I do that? To increase your knowledge of Christ. Say, if I want to learn about Christ, shouldn't I just be reading in the New Testament? I couldn't sleep last night. I don't know what it was. It might have been coffee late or whatever it was. At about, I don't know, 11:45, I got up and maybe a tendency is, I'll just see what's on TV. That wasn't last night. Last night, I just wanted to get more into the Scriptures a little bit, prepare my heart and mind for today, and read about the last, 10 chapters of the book of Isaiah last night. Say, that probably helped you fall asleep. It was very exciting. I got through chapter 55, and then I picked up and I saw 58, and I learned a lot about Christ reading in Isaiah. Hey, you study the scriptures. You look for things. You look for principles and patterns in the character of God. You're going to learn about you, and you're going to learn about God. See, I want to start growing as a Christian. I don't believe you can grow without the Word of God. It is our guide. It is our compass. It is our direction. In addition to that, how about the preaching of the Word of God? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, he uses the preaching. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I want to learn more about Christ. Are you listening to preaching? I'm not just saying even church times. Hey, maybe you spend a lot of time listening. Maybe you got downtime traveling here and there. Maybe your commute to work is an hour or something like that. And you listen to the radio or you listen to like podcasts or something like that. How about preaching? Good preaching. Don't waste your time with bad preaching. Some time ago, we had, what was that, cooking show, the cooking channel, is it just Food Network, thank you. And they had a show, Worst Cooks in America. I don't want to waste my time watching Worst Cooks in America. I want to watch the professionals. I want to watch the Michelin star-rated people that take the stuff and make it pretty. And hey, I don't want to waste my time with inadequacy. Hey, if you're wasting your time on poor preaching, you're just wasting your time. Be about the knowledge of Christ through the Word of God. Meditate on His Word. I was praying with Zeke tonight, and he prayed that. He prayed, Lord, help us to meditate on Your Word tonight. You know what that means? That means think about it. What do you think about? Well, you think about the things that you're reading or studying or listening to. Hey, if you fill your mind and you fill your heart with the news media, you're going to be thinking about that. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get depressed. I was telling Sarah, I bet the nation of Israel loves the book of Isaiah. Why? Because it's foretold of all the judgment to all the nations that cause trouble to Israel. And it also talks about the kingdom when the Messiah is going to perfectly rule and reign. Like they got to be all about it, Brother Parrott. They must love reading about it, thinking about it, dreaming about it. There they are in captivity thinking, I can't wait for this nation. It specifically says Babylon to be judged. I can't wait till the lion lays with the lamb. I bet they thought about that. I bet they meditated on that. Hey, what do you think about? What are you meditating on? Say, I would love to meditate on the Word of God. Then you need to be in the Word of God. The building blocks to our Christian life. Number one, the knowledge of Christ. Read about Him. Study about Him. Meditate on Him. Psalm chapter number 1. Many of you probably have this memorized. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, verse 1, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Meditate. How often? Day and night. You can't think about something that you haven't read. You can't think about something you haven't heard. Day and night. I want you to answer this question to your own heart. When was the last time you read the scriptures? I think it was like a couple weeks ago. Hey, you got to be in it daily. So I've been destroyed by sin. Where do I start? getting in the scriptures. Hey, I'm new here, and I'm trying to figure things out. Where do I start? Getting in the scriptures. I've been here a long time, and I've neglected some things. How do I get back to what I once was? Get back to the scriptures. Number two, talk to the Lord. We call that prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to do it continually. We are to pour out our heart before God. You know, I was thinking about this as we are singing tonight, and I love when you all sing. I get a blessing. I just sit up here and just hearing the songs and everybody singing. And up here, it's a different perspective than down there. And you get to hear all the, and you think, man, it's loud, and people are singing hopefully with all their heart. But I think that's the most important part, is that you sing with all your heart. Say, why? Doesn't the Lord want to hear an uplifted song? How about this? The Lord knows your thoughts. He doesn't need to hear it loud. My kids, when they talk to me, sometimes though our room or our house is laid out in a way where it's all on one floor, but you can be two significant rooms away, and then you're talking to someone. I'm older. I don't know what it is, Isaiah, but I just have a hard time hearing. I need you right in front of me, and I need you looking at me, because at the same time I'm listening, I'm kind of reading your lips a little bit. You know, the Lord doesn't need to do that. He doesn't have to bend down his ear and say, I'm having a hard time hearing him. No, he knows our thoughts. So what does he want? He wants us to just pour out our heart before him in prayer. Again, we've spoken of this just recently, but hey, is there a time where you get alone with God? I want to show you some verses. Mark chapter 11, they're all same, but are very similar, but it just tells us what prayer really is. Mark chapter 11. Hey, I want to start growing as a Christian. I want to get in the scriptures and start talking to God. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, wherefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe, and ye receive them, and ye shall have them. What do we see? We see a connection between asking, believing, and then receiving. 1 John chapter number 5. First John chapter number 5, way towards the back of your Bible. In verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what does he do? He heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Hey, when you pray, do you know that God actually hears you? John chapter number 14. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, he says. We see a connection between asking, believing, and then receiving. All three of those passages are similar. It helps us understand what prayer is. It's us talking to God about things he already knows, believing that that those things will come to pass according to his will, for his glory, it says. Let's not skip those things out. Well, if I pray over this lottery ticket, that's a waste of time. I've told you this story, but years ago, I'd have to do the math, but it was a long time ago. I was out of high school. I was in Bible Institute, and I was over at First Bible Baptist Church in Greece, and I remember Larry Way was telling this story. He said he had a neighbor, and that neighbor was, he was a professing Christian, but drank. And he said, what's the problem with alcohol? He says, you know what I want you to do? Before you drink that, do this. Ask God to bless it. Didn't think anything of it. Some time went on. His neighbor came over to him and he said, I don't know what you did. He said, but I can't touch that alcohol and ask God to bless it. Hey, our prayers mean something. When we talk to God, that's real. Say, I'm having a hard time. Let him know. Say, he knows everything. Just remind him that you're struggling. Pastor Hubert helped me with this thought. He said it many a times, and I remember it. He said, keep short accounts with the Lord. So what does that mean? That means don't let a big debt line up. Hey, you got something not right between you and God, fix it. That's good. That's good, humanly speaking and also heavenly speaking. Amen. Keep short accounts with the Lord. Pray for others. We're good at praying for ourselves. Do you pray for others? Do you pray for, who are you praying for to get saved? What soul are you pouring time and effort into that they might come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, Pastor, I don't know where to start. I'd like to grow in faith, but I don't know where to begin. All right, get in the Word of God and then regularly start talking to Him. Pray for others. Pray for the lost. Pray for your pastor. I'm telling you, I need it. Ask God about your own life. God, is there something in my life that needs to go? Say, what does that mean? That comes in between me and thee, Lord. So I don't want to ask him that question. Then you'll not grow. Is there something in your life that should be there? God, what would you like me to work on? How many of you have a project list? Anybody have project lists? We all have project lists. Maybe your own self-inflicted project list. Maybe one that hangs on the fridge. Maybe one that's on your computer, something like that. You're always working on something. What are you working on between you and God? Hey, I'm trying to be more. What good thing isn't in your life to the degree it should be? What are you working on? What is God helping you with? What block is missing that needs to be laid? Number one, a knowledge of Christ. Number two, prayer. Number three, I want to grow in my faith. All right, take a step of faith. What does that look like? Say no to flesh. Say no to sin. Is there sin in your life that needs to be eliminated? Look at Romans chapter number 6. Well, I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to heaven. True. But I don't think that's the right approach. Romans chapter number 6, because of verses like this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What is the next two words? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Eliminate sin. Eliminate bad habits. So I want to start growing. I want to get back to what I... All right, start living a life of faith. Start walking in the Spirit. Say no to the flesh. Say, what does that mean, say no to the flesh? Try skipping a meal once in a while. Now, Pastor, you can talk about Bible reading. I'm okay with prayer. But you start taking away food. You start taking away sleep. And now we're fighting. Now we're growing. When's the last time you set your alarm clock early to get up early and spend alone time with God? Not just set it, but actually got up. I'm telling you, growing up, I set my alarm clock so many times early, only to fail. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock. Okay, five, like 8 o'clock. I'm going to get up at 8. I used to work at a chimney company. I was telling you a little bit about that this morning. And I only lived about, I don't know, 8 or 10 minutes away from where I lived to where I worked. And I had to be there at 7:30 in the morning. And no problem. When you're doing chimney work, you don't really have to get too clean. So you can literally roll out of bed, throw a hat on, put yesterday's clothes on again because they're just dirty, and go to work and you look fine. And for quite a long time, I would get up early, and between my house and work was a place called Brugger's. How many of you remember Brugger's? Man. I'd go into Brugger's, and it would be me and a couple older ladies, and I'd get a bagel, half salmon cream cheese, half olive pimento. I kept them separate. You don't want to put them together, but separate, they're great. And they had hazelnut coffee. I'd spend an hour just with the Lord. That was a long time ago. Did you have some habits a long time ago that helped you grow that since then you have neglected? Maybe you have a story very similar. Pastor, I'd get up. Or I'd stay up once the kids went to bed. I would skip a meal. Some weeks I would skip all three meals and I would talk with God. When was the last time you said no to the flesh? What sin is in your life right now that needs to be eliminated? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. So what are you talking about here tonight? Building. Growing in the faith. Knowledge of Christ, prayer, taking steps of faith, walking by faith, walking in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You say, you really believe that 100%? Say, why? Because you've proved it? No, because God said it. That there's no sin more powerful than the mighty hand of God. When was the last time you said no to sin? When was the last time you got rid of a bad habit? Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 8. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, what's that next word? Obeyed. When does your faith become obedience? Has it? James 1:22 tells us not to just be a hearer, but a what? A doer of the word. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? He shall direct thy paths. Do you trust the Lord? Of course I trust the Lord. Do you really? I love that verse in Malachi 3:10. He says these two words. He invites you to prove him. He says, prove me. Hey, you take any one of these principles in the scriptures and say, God, I'm going to put everything I have into what you said. And I promise you at the end, you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Prove the Lord. Take something that he says, a promise, and say, God, I'm claiming this promise. The children will catch me at a weak moment. Dad, later on, can we go? Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And then later on comes and they remember. Dad, you said, oh, you're right, I did say that. All right, let's go. How about the Lord? God, you said, and you claim the promise. You remind him. You prove him whether what he says is right and true or not. I'll promise you, he is exactly what he says he is. See, I want to start growing in the Lord. I don't know where to even begin. Get in the Word. Start talking to him regularly. Say no to the sin and flesh. Take a step of faith. Prove him. How about this? Surround yourself. Hebrews chapter number 10. With what? One another. Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know what every person in this room ought to be doing? Helping one another get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no room. Hey, the world will do its best to pull you away from Christ. It's looking to mess you up. We talked about that a couple weeks ago about our social media. How are you doing with that? Anybody set some limits on their phones? Good. Are you keeping them? Good. Good. Was it hard? A little bit, yeah. Because you become used to something. All of a sudden my phone says, you got like 5 more minutes on Facebook. I said, man, that 4 hours went quick. No. No, I shouldn't be fooling around about that. So yeah, I don't know. Did you find you had some extra time? I can't believe how much time I wasted on things that just don't matter. How about this? Provoking one another unto love and good works. How about fellowshipping with the people that live in your home? Your friends. Surround yourself. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We're getting close to football season. I enjoy football. But there's some principles there. You understand that they spend, as a team, a lot of time together to be able to execute on the ball field for a couple hours. That's not the first time they see each other all week. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. I'm here to tell you, you don't get that online. You don't get the brother that comes and puts his arm around you and say, hey, let's pray together. You don't get the girl, the lady friend that says, hey, I'm just going through a rough time. Can we talk a little bit? Edify one another. Surround yourself. Hebrews chapter 13. We're almost done. I like this verse. Let brotherly love what? Continue. Keep it up. Surround yourself. Say, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to grow. I want to get closer to the Lord. Again, number one, get in the Word of God. Number two, talk to him. Number three, take a step of faith. That's getting rid of the flesh. That's saying no to sin. That's obeying what he says. That's proving him. That's trusting him. Number four, surround yourself. Get around people that are heading in the same direction. They're going to encourage you. You know, there's friends. I use that word friends very loosely. That don't care a thing about God. And you spend time around that, they're going to pull you away from that which is right. Surround yourself with people that love the Lord. Lastly, say, what do I do? My life has been destroyed by sin. I want to start building again. I think those are some good things of where to start. Lastly, 1 Peter chapter number 4. First Peter chapter number 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another. Serve the Lord. Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What ministry are you involved in? Who are you serving? Well, I'm here to get something. Hey, if you want to grow, you better start serving. I'm telling you, it's the best thing. Serving others. What do you do for somebody else? What do you do for your fellow believer and Christian? I say, Pastor, where do I start? I want to grow, but I don't even know where to begin. I think these five things, are these the only five things? No, but this is a good start to help rebuild and pick up the pieces. The city of Jerusalem was decimated by their enemies. You know what? It isn't too far to think that you and I, if we allow sin in our life, could also be decimated by our very enemy. And you may be standing in as they were in Nehemiah, spiritually speaking, just a pile of rubbish. Ashes, ruin, destruction. Say, where do we begin? Brick by brick. Pastor, it's been a long time since I've been what I should be. Then how about we start this again? Let's all stand. Pastor, tonight, there's some things I need to work on. Would you please pray for me? Anybody like that? Some hands. Remember that point this morning? As Nehemiah went out, the first step to rebuilding is to acknowledge the problem. Nehemiah had to go to Jerusalem. I got to see what it looks like. Hey, what's your life look like? Is it what it should be in these areas? These are the fundamentals of the faith. In a moment, the music's going to play. We have an invitation. I invite you to come forward. Talk to the Lord. Say, I can talk to the Lord in my seat, yes, but there's something about coming out. The Bible tells us to be a living sacrifice. I think it's a good thing to put ourselves upon the altar every now and then, our heart and our prayer upon the altar. Hey, back in the Old Testament, they could have made a sacrifice of animals at their own house, but God said, no, I want you to bring it to the altar. That's why we have these set of steps here. No more holy here than at your seat, but there's something about moving. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Lord, as you spoke to our hearts, if physically people could come to the altar tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help them. The things that you've worked in our hearts about. Lord, we want to grow and do better. Lord, maybe some tonight have been destroyed by sin and don't even know where to begin to start rebuilding. Lord, may this message have been a help. Lord, I pray for those that have maybe are just new to all this and don't even know where to begin. Lord, I pray that this would be a help. God, I pray if someone has let some of these things slip, that tonight they would get back on track. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? The building blocks of the Christian life.